Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some spirits return to comfort us. Others come back for other reasons. Sometimes we don't fully understand.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Is, yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. And you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Todd with you on today's edition of the program. What's going on with you?
And again, we're recording this right before Halloween. Mm-hmm. I have not done any decorating for Halloween or fall at this point. So last year, big, huge display outside, mm-hmm. big, giant skeleton, two smaller skeletons, bubbling cauldron, all this kind of stuff. Lights, right? Yeah. Spider webs, huge spiders on the side of my house, spotlights, all that. Did that last year. This year, nothing. Nothing at all. Not even like, remember when you were a kid and at least my mom did. She had those cardboard cutout kind of things that you can buy cheaply at like Kmart or something and you put them in your windows.
I have one right
over here. Do you really?
Yeah. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Keep telling keep talking. Give me 1 second.
I will. So my mom had two types of decorations at Halloween early on. And that was those pieces that were really meant to be thrown out. The other thing that she had was the pumpkins that you could take and then open up and it would be like paper mache or crepe paper or whatever that is. And it would create a pumpkin or maybe a haystack or like a spider's body. She had those as well. But my mom would buy the really cheap holiday stuff that you would hang in the window and use it for like a decade. And by the time we finally threw them out, they were like white because they had faded so horribly.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite. You'll probably like it as well. This is not the original from when I was a child. I actually found this. I think I saw this on like on an Instagram shop or something a couple of years ago. And I was like, holy shit, that's the one I used to have. And I loved putting this one up in the window. It was like, and I would do it like, I'd start putting it up in like July. I'm like, I'm going to start decorating for Halloween. And this is it. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
It was 49 cents at the time. Eureka is the name of the company that made it. I don't know if it's a reproduction or if this is like just one of the originals. But I have like three of them. That,
are they all that?
Yeah, this was my favorite. There was a couple others that we had when I was a kid. I don't remember what they all were back then.
My mom had a witch, which was kind of scary.
Yeah.
She had a pumpkin with glowing eyes, which weren't actually glowing because it was cardboard. And then she had a really cool scarecrow that you could move the arms. There were little rivets at the joints, and you could move the arms and legs a little bit with the scarecrow. Yeah. Those are the ones that she had that I remember.
Those are cool. Yeah, I remember those. And like, there's been like kind of a resurgence in some of those. Like people are making them again.
Yeah, because the nostalgia, the same thing with blow form pumpkins and stuff like that, that have the light that would overheat and melt the pumpkin. Those are still really big and you can find them online and people collect that stuff even for Christmas, but they're big for Halloween too.
Holy shit. I remember buying those at like garage sales.
Yeah.
And then I would make my own haunted house in the basement with like the glowing pumpkins. And we had like a ghost one. And then there was a pumpkin one and they're all real tiny, but you put the light in there and then yes, they could easily melt as well. And I'd make my own little haunted houses in the basement with them. And I think I bought them at like garage sales in like 1990 for a dime. You know, people didn't want them. They were old. They were like, these are gaudy. They're old. Cause they're like from the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And they went out of fashion forever. seen those fuckers at antique stores now for hundreds of dollars.
Yes. And they had a smell to them. Once they warmed up, once the lights got hot enough, there was a smell that came with Christmas in my house, because we had the Santa Claus and the snowman and all that kind of crap too. But there was a smell that came with them that meant the holidays were in the house. And it wasn't a pine candle or anything like that. It was the smell of burning plastic that meant Christmas in the Michaels home.
Nothing up. Like the holidays. It's like the fresh scent of burning plastic and asbestos. Nothing says the holidays quite like that.
It's a chemical Christmas.
I remember going to my parents' house, or my grandparents' house in Winnebago Drive, to the basement that's like all like the ceilings lined with asbestos tiling. And it was like, well, that's what it is. And I think the floor tiles were asbestos. Because I asked, why did they never rip those out or change them? They're asbestos.
Yeah. I do a lot of, like, in the past, a lot of work on my home. And I remember pulling out the vinyl in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Knowing full well this stuff was probably asbestos. Mm-hmm. And I just did it anyway. So down the road.
I'm in no way this is any sort of medical advice or anything, but at the same point, if you're like fully remodeling a house, and that's a pretty big undertaking of what you're talking about there, of like ripping all that stuff out. So maybe a mask would have been a good idea there.
Yeah, of course.
But like when somebody's just doing like a small little thing, you know, it's like, is it really? Your risk factor, but I mean, is it more risky than going through the radar or the X-ray machine and all that too? I mean,
standing in front of the microwave, like we talked about.
Standing in front of the microwave,
right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, is it? Did we over? I don't want to like underplay. Did we scare ourselves on asbestos? Was it holy shit? This is because it went from like, get asbestos and people are breathing it in and using it for everything. And now it's like kryptonite.
And there were those great videos that would come out with the blink, 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 blink music in the background, where it was asbestos can save your house from fire, you know? Yeah. And then there were the clocks that they would use the uranium on to make them glow, right? We had like five of them in my house growing up, and you never thought about stuff like that.
No,
lead
you
paint,
don't.
Lead paint. You know, lead. How can some of the stuff we did in our lives, in history, is just amazing when you think about some of the stuff that was in our face, on our body, in our body, that could have, you know, should have killed us, and in a lot of cases did.
And some of us survived, and some of us did.
That's right.
No, it's true. I mean, it's the asbestos. I mean, the lead paint, the uranium glass, and it's funny. My girlfriend, she kind of has the she'll probably say this, the taste of an 85-year-old woman, because she loves that stuff. She collects uranium glass and old, like, we were at Goodwill the other day. I was dropping some stuff off, and she wanted to go in and see if we could find some interesting, you know, old antique stuff. And we found this really neat set of like 1960s coffee mugs and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked them up. Really just kind of like modern-ish type of the era. And I was like, these would be fun to use. We looked them up, lead paint.
Yep.
Like worth a lot of money for, you know, the $3 we bought them for, but lead paint. So it's like, I'm like, I don't know. I would drink coffee out of it. I'd take a shot.
Now I'm scared because I've got some older like 70s coffee mugs that I use all the time. One of them's orange and yellow. The other one's kind of blue and gray. And it's like, now that you say that, maybe I should probably look that up.
You should do what she did to discover if it was lead or not. Just the Google image reverse search can search the image, and then it'll likely come up, because there's likely, if they're old, people have, there's probably other ones people have collected them, and you'll find out more information. But I don't know. I said, I'd drink some tea out of that cup.
Listen, we all got to go sometime. We got to go sometime.
Yeah. You're pouring hot liquid into it. It may, you know,
loosen it up.
Just loosen it up. Like, damn, that really, you know, it got the cough to go away, but,
took my lungs with it. Yeah.
Took the lungs with it as well. But again, like all the other shit we do, you know, vapes, everything, like something's going to fucking kill you at some point. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying go drink from lead paint and huff asbestos, but
please don't do that.
But yeah, you know, you got to go at some point. Let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear it.
Hey, guys. I'm an actual new listener. I've been listening for about a week or two. But I've had an interest in the paranormal in general for years. And, you know, just kind of the what-if stories in general and keeping an open mind with things. And I really feel like a lot of that stemmed off of what I had experienced when I was young, and keeping an open mind to, you know, all these things after, you know, again, having the experience I did. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my godfather, my Uncle Dave, he was the best. I don't remember a lot from my childhood, but I do remember very specific stories with him. You know, I remember the Jurassic Park truck he bought me for my 4th birthday and linking the trailer to it while I played in the kitchen and rolling it at his feet. I remember him, you know, building my Power Ranger. Again, my parents confirmed for me at an extremely young age. But at age 6, my Uncle Dave unfortunately passed away in a terrible accident with construction. About 5,000 pounds of stairway had fallen on him, and the sad part was is it didn't even kill him right away. It was terrible. This was beyond hard on our family. My dad's best friend, and my dad didn't have a really easy, good upbringing. And I remember him being absolutely defeated, and I remember me being at daycare, just even that young, I still remember sensing something very wrong. So, I mean, like I said, this was a really tough time on the family. It was my dad's best friend. This is the guy that would let my dad sleep on his couch when his own father would kick him out. So it was just that type of, you know, brotherhood, and he was gone. We had a picture of my Uncle Dave when he came in the backyard and during a picnic. And he was in a suit, and he had that smile on his face, those rosy cheeks like we knew him best. And that picture hangs in our living room. And one day after, you know, sometime after he had passed, actually, we had been walking by that photo, and, you know, my dad stopped, and he looked like he had just seen a ghost, just completely flushed face. And I remember it because he scared me, because I wasn't used to my father ever looking scared. And we looked into the photo, and I have the photo to this day. I still have. I would be more than happy to share it if it was something that was asked. In both bottom corners, it looks very specifically, not kind of, sort of, but very specifically like two angels. And dead center in the middle, not kind of, sort of, but very specifically looks like a gate. And it just kind of, it just clicked in our heads is exactly that. It just seemed like the angels and you know, a gateway, and gave us that like peaceful, amazing feeling. Gives me chills talking about it because I've never talked about it. And I just don't know why, but your show seems like a good, you know, opportunity to tell the story. So I, you know, I really greatly appreciate you guys giving me the space to do that. Like I said, this was a good one, you know, but absolutely incredible and unexplainable. Thanks again. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm a big fan, and, hopefully use my story. Thank you.
Thoughts on that?
Well, what a horrific story about how this gentleman passed away. You know, there is something visually that paranormal researchers called matrixing, where you see something in something else, like a face in a window or in a mirror or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy for, because what our brain wants to do when we see something, our brain wants to go, oh, it's this. Oh, it's a car. Oh, it's a person, or it's whatever. So if it sees something it doesn't necessarily understand, it tries to find out what that thing is. So there is something called matrixing. However, I have to say that this is a very interesting matrix, if that's what it is. If there are very clear, concise angels in the corner of this thing, and like a gateway or something like that in the middle, that's very interesting. That doesn't sound like your typical matrixing where Yeah, it's an old mirror, and I kind of see a face over here sometimes if the light is just right. Or, you know, if I look up in the window on the second floor, I see a face, and it turns out to be, you know, some trees across the yard that throw a weird shadow or whatever. This is a very interesting story, and I mean, that is something I would love to look at. So if he could look me up on social media and send it to me there, I would love to take a look at it and see what it looks like.
Not paranormal, but in that same sort of vein of seeing things where there's maybe there is something, but in what I'm about to talk about, there isn't, is tiles, like floor tiles or bathroom tiles, you know, like where it's like rock and it's, you know, it's the natural, you know, tone of the pattern of the rock or whatever is in there. That's an interesting one, because sometimes I'll find myself sitting there on the throne and you're looking at her and you're like, oh, there's kind of a face in that tile over there like that. And I'll tell you what makes those faces come out even more. This.
A vape.
You have a little bit of this. I tell you, you see a lot of weird shit in the tiles around your house. Sometimes they speak to you. No, they don't do that. But I have noticed, like, just with anything, like if you are doing this, and this is, it's not tobacco, I use it for creativity. I use it for coming up with ideas. And it does kind of, if you take the right tip of strain or something, can really open yourself up for that. And a lot of people obviously do use it with that and for other reasons. But I have found that if I have had a little bit of weed or something, I will notice those sort of patterns will stand out to me a lot more than they do otherwise. And it's, you know, it is your mind. Your mind's trying to fill in those blanks and make sense of what it is seeing. But it's kind of amazing, some of the patterns that are in just innate tiles and objects and things around us that our brain will then put together. And it's not just at those moments, because I'll be like, well, that's interesting. I'm gonna look at this tomorrow when I haven't had anything. And if you've already seen it, you'll still see it. And it's
wood grain is the same way. Wood grain is the same way, especially faux wood grain. You can sit there, and if you look at it, and again, a bathroom might be the perfect place to do it, because you know, you have vanity and all that kind of stuff. And back in the 70s, the fake wood grain, you're sitting there, you're going, oh my God, that looks like a face. And like you said, you know, maybe you had a couple of drinks, maybe it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it does come out, but you never not see it again.
It's and there.
For whatever reason in the 70s, there was more stuff that had faces in it. You're talking about like stone or tile or whatever. I'm sure it's a very nice tile that you have. I remember the old 70s crap. The formica that they would put up on walls that looked like designs and stuff like that. There were faces all over that stuff.
Do you think it was somebody like in the art department that was at the company that's making that shit going, let's put a bunch of faces in here and fuck with everybody?
I don't know, but you know, like a lot of the decor and stuff from the 70s was very dark, kind of a Spanish feel to it almost. Yeah. Man, my mom was really into that stuff. We had some spooky shit in our house growing up. From candles on the wall to, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, just going to like a basement that hasn't been updated since the 70s, which there's few and far between nowadays, but you used to be able to find, you know, your basements, your kind of Midwestern basements that were kind of the, you know, hangout place or be a bar, maybe some carpet on one of the walls and a lot of paneling.
An oil lamp in the corner, right? That was freaky. Yes. That also had that Spanish feel to it with whatever was going on. Yeah, it was I love that stuff. Like I live to see that, but man, there's some freaky stuff that was popular back then.
I saw one of those oil lamps a couple months ago at an antique store. I have not seen a working one. I don't think I saw a working one most of my life. I saw them in people's homes, but they were just kind of hanging, and a lot of them really weren't functioning.
Right.
But they were just there. But I saw one in full blown operational mode. I was like kind of blown away. I'm like, oh, this is what they look like when they're running. And I'm like, I want to get this. And it's like a couple $1,000. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
I remember like one of my relatives got one once, and it was like everybody at the party stood there and watched the thing. Like it was the second coming of, you know, Jesus or whatever. And,
They're cool. A lot of upkeep, aren't they? Or I don't even know. Well,
there's a motor. You got to keep the oil clean. It's almost, you almost have to change it, I believe, like a car where you have to keep it. And the motors burn out, and then you're kind of screwed. And if it doesn't heat up because the lamp isn't hot enough, then the oil doesn't flow frequently. And if somebody touches one of those fishing wire strings, it's ruined.
Really?
Because your oil gets on it. And it no longer flows on that wire. So you'd see them after time where maybe like half of them were no longer flowing because there was dirt on them or whatever. Yeah, they were a pain. But man.
That's probably why none of them worked.
Yeah.
When you were kids, because all the kids were like, hey, what is this? Those are neat, though. I do like those. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's do one more call. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys. It's Christina from Atlanta again. I was calling. A lot of stuff's been happening. It started with the shower ghost and just keeps escalating. Now, my six-year-old is hearing people talking in her room at night, and she says that she hears footsteps, and it's like someone's running up to her bed, and she doesn't like, she knows that I believe in this stuff, you know, I believe in ghosts and spirit, all this stuff. She knows that, but she never, you know, like 6-year-olds, I mean, I don't know if your kids are any different, but Amelia, she doesn't get into stuff like that. She doesn't even think about that kind of stuff. And now she's like scared to death to go to bed at night. And it breaks my heart because it's like, what do I do? Like I let her sleep with the light on last night. And I cleansed the house last night, of course, I smudged it. And I don't know, my friend brought me, and you know, I didn't even think about this until just now. My friend bought me this. It's supposed to protect you. She got it from a voodoo shop in New Orleans. But I'm wondering if that is bringing bad juju to my house, or making the activity hype and like get worse. Because before it was just the shower ghost and this and that, but now it's. I saw a lady in white. In your TV, how you could see the reflection in your flat screen TV. That's where I saw it. I didn't see it in the mirror. I saw it in the reflection of my TV, and it scared the living shit out of me. And I ran out to the living room where my fiance was and was like, hey, this happened. And I've been hearing these two women talking to each other. And then, you know, that was 3 days ago that I heard the two women talking in the bathroom. That was last night when I saw the lady in white with the TV, just like walked right by. And then my daughter's saying this is happening, and it happened to her two nights in a row with someone walking up and someone running up to her bed. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, I've smudged the house, but I don't know if those ingredients I can't even remember what it is, but it's to bring protection over your house, that my friend brought me from New Orleans. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, or I don't know what, but I need advice somewhat or something. Anyone of the listeners, what should I do? It's a rental house. So if it's like, I mean, it's not like we're getting scratched at or, you know, hair pulling or anything like that. It's just like little things here and there, but they're kind of creepy, you know? So I don't know. See, I was okay with it and everything until it started bothering my kid. And now, but then again, I'm a sensitive and I've never really tapped into that, like on a real level, tried to just ignore it. So maybe I should, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's why I'm calling you guys. Sorry, you're just ranting, but tell me, guys. I love you guys so much. Thank you for this outlet. Seriously, y'all are the best.
Satan, what do you think?
Well, here's the deal. If you go and get some of those sub sandwiches from Kmart, You smudge those around your house. And I know you can't go to a Kmart anymore, but you can find the recipe online. You can make the sandwiches using Sara Lee rolls and then wrap them in plastic and then walk around the house, light the sandwiches on fire, and smudge it with the sub. Smudge it with the sub. That's what you got to do. And you have to walk around going, the blue light special expels you. The blue light special expels you.
Satan, I never thought of lighting a Kmart sub sandwich on fire to smudge spirits out.
Well, you know, it's all about being crafty and finding ways to deal with the dark side in creative ways. And you know what? Us here in hell, we love those sandwiches. We love it. We're part of what brought Kmart down in the first place. So, start burning some of those sub sandwiches. We will be at peace.
There you go.
Problem and while solved. You're there, check out the wig sale in aisle 7 at Kmart.
Yes, exactly.
You know, well, let me ask you this. Did any of that come to you while she was talking, or did that all just come to you the minute the call ended?
I knew I was going to go to Satan, but I didn't know what Satan was going to say. Well, and I just epic. Then I started kind of going on like smudge sticks. I'm like, ooh, you know, like those Kmart subs were wrapped up really tight in the plastic. Yep. It kind of resembles like smudge sticks. I'm like, oh, you light the sub on fire. Yeah, that's what I'm coming up with.
Yeah, maybe lay off the vape. I will say this, two things. Number one, and I don't know the exact number, but 9 times out of 10, you're dealing with something that was human. If there's something going on, it was human. It's some sort of human connection. So there's not a lot to be afraid of. Second of all, it doesn't sound like there's anything menacing happening here. It just seems like there's some activity trying to get noticed, whatever. So it may be trying to communicate with you. But if it's scaring your daughter, and Tony, we talked about this on the show, first thing you do is say, listen, if you're going to stay here, there's going to be some rules. And the first rule is you leave my daughter alone, period. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to set boundaries. And a lot of times that actually does help the situation. If you're at all religious, you could bring in a religious person, a pastor or a priest or something. Just have them bless the home for you. If you're not, if there's a religion that you are into, there might be somebody that can help you with that too. But first thing I would do is set intentions with whatever is there and just say, listen, either you play by my rules or I'm going to do everything I can to get rid of you. So that would be my
or
first.
A Kmart sub.
Or a Kmart sub, according to Satan, which my money would be on talking to the entity before burning a Sara Lee sub wrapped in plastic, because there's probably chemicals in the plastic too. We go back to that whole thing.
They put bologna in those subs. Did you know that?
Oh, my God. Those things were horrible, but so good.
They were. I know. I looked at the recipe. I saw it because I looked it up. Did you send it? Somebody sent it to me. Did you send it to me? Somebody sent it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You sent it. And it was like, holy shit. I didn't know. Like, it was just like a lot. It was very 1970s, 1980s like cookery where it's like open the can, pour in, and you're done. It was basically that version of a sandwich.
I remember when I was younger, I worked in a grocery store. And this was back in the day when the meat cutters were still smoking in the meat room. You know, they had their cigarettes back there and whatever. But they would make sandwich spread, which I always really liked, that really cheap sandwich spread you could get to put on, you know, white bread or whatever. And what I found out was they would take all the stuff that was outdated, all the lunch meat. It could be anything. Could be bologna. Could be salami. Could be your olive pimento loaf, which everybody loves.
Yeah.
And they would grind it up, and that's what you were eating in the grocery stores back in the day. Things have definitely changed.
Was it mixed with like mayo or Miracle Whip or something?
Mayo or Miracle, yep, something like that, yeah.
So it was expired, and they thought, well, if we grind it up, it gives it new life?
Absolutely. You didn't let anything go back then.
Oh, my God. I had a dream I was in a cop's food center the other night.
What the hell goes on in your house at night?
I don't know. Are cops even around anymore? Are they all gone?
They were bought by Kroger's, so they're all gone.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Gosh. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was in a cop's food store in my dream. It was a creepy one too. It was dark. It was kind of defunct-ish. I don't know. I don't know what goes on.
Worked in a couple of those in my day.
I know you did. Yeah. But yeah, that's funny. Or my favorite, I know, because I was talking about this the other night with somebody. I forgot who I was talking to, but it was I miss the old small town grocery stores.
The Red Owls and the Super Values and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Hoff's Red Owl. You know, where it was, they weren't big by any means, but they had pretty much everything you needed. And they all had kind of the same sort of feel to them. And they were just, they were unique. And I liked those. They were, I can share a quick story. So I was in one of those stores once. This was in Wichita area. It was called Apple Market. I think it's gone. It was just outside of town. They had a big sale going on and they had us broadcasting live. And I loved going there because it was like going back in time. It felt like those old stores because it really was one of those old stores. And the person that I was with at the time had gotten into a car accident and had been taken to the hospital. And it's radio. I'm at a live broadcast.
Yep.
There's nobody else to come do your job for you. And I couldn't leave. I was like, I go, and she was fine, but it was like, still like, you know, I want to go to the hospital and all that. And, I'm like stressing. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And I had called the station like, well, you need to finish doing the remote broadcast at the massive meat sale because God forbid people don't hear about the massive meat sale. So I'm like, all right. Power goes out.
Wow.
At the grocery store. We can't broadcast and they can't have people coming into the fucking store either.
They got to close down.
They had to close down.
And I remember you telling me this story, by the way.
I waited like 10, 15 minutes just to see like, you know, if it comes back, you know, cause they want to be like, I'm out. And I'm like, they're like, well, you know, guys, we're just going to, you know, maybe we can do it later in the day. Can we like, great, bye. And I headed out and it was only that store. Nothing else in the area went out. They never knew what the hell it was. I mean, they were in the back trying to mess with the breakers and everything. And I got into the hospital. She was fine. And then I get a call, after I had seen her like, hey, can you come back to the remote? Their power's back on. Okay, great. Weirdest fucking thing.
That is strange. Cause you know me, you do that stuff and you almost in the back of your mind, want something like that to happen so you can get out of doing it. I felt the same way about doing weddings every Saturday night. I wanted there to be a fire in the kitchen of the location that I was having to DJ so that I didn't have to actually finish the night. I was willing to lose all my equipment in a horrible fire and maybe, singe my own skin just to get out of doing that. So exactly. I totally understand that.
The only time we enjoyed weddings is when you and me did them together. Those were fun adventures. Other than that, I hated doing them by myself.
Yeah.
And it was just dread all week. Like, oh God, I got to go to this wedding.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, there you go. Creepy grocery store story. Those people, there's a weird witchiness about them. It is my ex. There's something about that person where I don't know, there's a weird sixth sense that I think they have. They always have had it. And I'm not saying this any sort of negative way, but I was just the other week, I was traveling. My layover was in the city where they live. I don't communicate with this person at all anymore. And I get a text when I'm in the airport.
That's weird.
Yeah. And it was really mundane. It was just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was nothing I needed to reply to, but it was just like, that's creepy. Like of all the times, of all the moments, I'm literally like on the like tram going from, you know, this part of the airport to the other. And I'm just like, this is fucking creepy. Like,
did they ever talk about feeling like they had any kind of special?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
They did. And I mean, I believe it to a certain extent. I think some things, you know, are overplayed, but I think there's and it wasn't anything like, hey, are you in town? Or it was just like, she's always had a way of texting at very bizarre moments in life. Especially after the relationship where it would be, you know, I was on a date with somebody or something new and it would just be like at that moment. And it was at really weirdly uncalculated times. It wasn't like, hey, predictable Saturday night or at 8 o'clock, we're getting, you know, it would be like weird times that no one would just be thinking, hey, I'm going to send that text to my ex when they might be on a date with somebody or something like that. It was just weirdness.
You ever get any weird boils or anything like that after the relationship ended?
I didn't get any boils. No, okay. But it is the exact same person where the lights, where that power went off with that texted me when I was in the airport. Ah, the
other interesting.
Creepy. Yeah, very creepy. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you would like access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, check us out on Apple Podcasts. We got it there for you on our premium channel and also patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.